In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the Sunday before the Holy Great Fast. And the Holy Great Fast is a journey for all of us. And as we heard today in the Gospel, that it's a journey that requires of us a couple of things. It requires of us prayer and fasting, and we'll hear next week about doing charitable deeds. So these are the three cornerstones that the church is teaching us that we're going to have to practice during this journey. And this journey can be likened to our journey to paradise or to heaven. And if we look at the story of the Bible, we started off in paradise and we end up in heaven. And what's in between is, you know, the message of our salvation. So the church kind of mimics that same kind of theme, in which we start off, you know, in our life and we're separated from God, and, you know, sin is, you know, taking hold of our life and might have some certain addictions or whatnot. We have this period of fasting which resembles our life on earth, in which we should practice prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, which would ultimately lead us to the glorious feast of the resurrection, which of course is likened to the resurrection in the last day. So in today's Gospels in particular, we hear about a particular point that was repeated a couple of times to us, or a particular virtue, and that virtue is forgiveness. So before we set out on this road trip of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, the church is telling us, but before you get started, there's something necessary that you need to know. In order to get through this road trip, there has to be forgiveness. So, and even if you look at the journey that the church takes through this great Lent, and compare that to our life. In our life, we'll meet people who insult us, that will demand our forgiveness. We'll meet people that cheat us, like maybe the Samaritan woman, that will demand our forgiveness. We might meet a cruel person or somebody who is without love, might be likened in the character of the paralytic man. Or we might meet a person who lived a life void of the light of Christ, like the man born blind, and that it might be requesting of us to start new, and we'll have to forgive him or her. So through this journey, we're going to meet people in our life that we will have to forgive, or that might demand or ask for our forgiveness. So that's why I thought it, you know, relative to speak about forgiveness today. And I'll speak about maybe 2 points and some practical, you know, principles we can apply. I would like to speak about what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not, so we can keep that maybe clear in our minds. First, what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is a cancellation of debt. In the Lord's Prayer today, we heard the Lord say, when you pray, you're going to say, forgive us our debts, and that's how it's translated in the New King James. We say it trespasses, but debts kind of brings home the point here, is that we're asking God to forgive us what we have, what we owe him, or the forgive us for breaking his commandment. So it's when God forgives us, it's a cancellation of that debt. It's something that he has freely forgiven us and says, okay, I don't charge you anymore. And this is very clear in Matthew 18, when the Lord tells the people the parable of the unforgiving servant. And this was the servant where, you know, his master came, you know, and told him to pay what they owe. And the person who owed 10,000 talents, which is equivalent to like some, you know, $4 million or $10 million, something like that, which is something astronomical that maybe you would never make in your whole lifetime. He asked for him to pay him back. And when he begged and pleaded, he said, okay, I'll forgive you the debt. And it says, actually, the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. So as if, you know, the master, you know, said, okay, I'm not going to charge you this great amount of money anymore, and you're free to go. So forgiveness is a cancellation of debt. So if somebody comes and says, you know, is asking for forgiveness from you or from me, and you say you forgive them, we can't ask for that repayment from somebody else, because then that would be a transferal of debt, not a forgiveness of debt. So forgiveness is, you know, as if, you know, it was paid off in full. So forgiveness first is the cancellation of debt. The second, forgiveness is a commandment. It's not an optional practice for Christians. The Lord says in Luke chapter 6, he says, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. So, I would consider an enemy would be somebody who maybe hurt me or owes me something. That I might consider that person the enemy. But Christ here is saying to love them. So in order to love them, there must be forgiveness for what they have, you know, taken from me or offended me. Also, St. Paul says in his letter to the Colossians, he says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. So you also must do. So he tells us to forgive one another because that's what Christ did with us. He forgave us. And he says, this is something you must do. So forgiveness is a commandment. It's not something that's optional in our spiritual life. I'll choose something else. I just won't choose this forgiveness deal. Forgiveness is a command. Also, forgiveness is conditional. And we hear this twice in today's gospel. He says, in the Lord's Prayer, he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And also he says in verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it's a conditional. It's basically we're saying to God, we will forgive, and in the same measure that I forgive God, you forgive me as well. And actually, when we choose not to forgive, you know, you might look at this verse and you might have been, you know, thought, okay, maybe it was enough for Christ to say, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Enough said. I think we would get the point if we don't forgive. But he made it a point to say, if you don't forgive, this is what's going to happen. So there's no doubt in our mind. So it's surely and it truly is conditional. If we forgive other people, God will forgive us. And who of us among us is not in need of God's mercy and his forgiveness? Of course, all of us are in need of God's forgiveness. So when I refuse to forgive other people, I am forfeiting what the Lord has pardoned to me. And if we pay attention to the parable and about the unjust servant, the master told him that his debt was forgiven. So it was erased. But then when he couldn't forgive somebody that owed him pennies, comparing to what he owed, Christ required, or God required of him, or his master required of him, of the debt that was forgiven him. So whose fault is it? It's not the master's fault, but it was his fault for not forgiving. If he doesn't forgive, he forfeits the forgiveness that God or the master was afforded to him. So then at the end of the story, he was required to be thrown in prison until all the money could be paid. So the debt is forgiven as long as we forgive. So it's conditional. And we have to pay attention. Every day when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray this. We say, forgive us our trespasses or our debts as we forgive our debtors or those who trespass against us. And if we stop and think about it, this might be a hard thing to pray. Some of us just say it and we don't realize what we're saying. But we're praying to God to measure or judge me according to how I forgive other people. I think, you know, many of us would like to just simply leave that part out of the prayer and say, forgive us our debts, and leave it at that. But Christ told us when we pray to pray this way. So he's emphasizing that as we forgive, God will forgive us as well. And it's kind of like, you know, like a company match program. You know, a company match program is offered to everybody. But unless I take money and invest in that match program, I will not reap the benefits of that investment. So the same thing with forgiveness. If I don't invest in forgiving other people, I myself will not reap the benefits of God's forgiveness to me. So it's a voluntary forfeiting of God's forgiveness. So what are the benefits of this, of forgiveness? And that brings us to the next point, that forgiveness is necessary for Christian unity and oneness. Forgiveness is necessary for us to be united as one body. Christ came to unite us to himself and to one another. We read in John chapter 17, in his prayer to the Father, he says, that they all, which is us, may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they all may be one in us, which is the Holy Trinity. That they may be one just as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. So our unity with Christ also involves one another. So if I can't forgive my brother or my sister for something that they have done against me, then that hinders the unity of the body of Christ, believe it or not. Also, the Lord says, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. So if we all, you know, here together are partaking of the same body, we unite ourselves involuntarily to Christ and to each other. So if I have something against somebody else and I try to be, you know, united to that person, it's not going to be, and it's going to be disease more than a healthy situation. And that's why the church, every liturgy, it starts off with the prayer of what? Of reconciliation. The liturgy of the faithful. First thing we do is the liturgy of the prayer of the reconciliation, in which we say that you hear the deacon cry out, greet one another with a holy kiss. That's not just greeting them, but it's actually a more of, you know, I'm greeting them because I have nothing against them. And if you remember what the Lord said, when we come to offer any offering, if you remember that somebody has something against you, leave your offering at the altar, go reconcile with your brother, and then come back to me. So the church here is emphasizing, in order for us to be really united together, we have to forgive one another. So we can't unite to one another without forgiveness. And any time that we have, you know, bitterness between one another or against somebody, or anger or hatred or division, that all is fruits of sin and are barriers to the unity of the church and the body of Christ. And we see from maybe the example of the Samaritan and the Canaanite woman of how Christ, when he is put in the situation where that requires forgiveness, you see his radiant love and his radiant forgiveness there. If you look at how Christ was with the Samaritan, he didn't judge her, but you know, he forgave her and didn't put her down, but he accepted her. And also the blind, the non-believers, and even his enemies, Christ was willing to forgive. On the cross, they had just nailed the nails in his arms, and he prayed for them and said, "Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." So forgiveness is something that's necessary for our unity. Also, forgiveness is a choice that we make. Some people say, "Oh, but Abuna, I can't forgive this person, or I can't forgive that person." But actually, forgiveness is a voluntary choice. It's not something like I was born with it. No. But it's something that we can choose to do. Even if it's, I'm not convinced of it, but we can still choose to do it. The Gospel of John says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses." So here it's saying, if you forgive. So it's a voluntary choice. If you forgive, you're forgiven. If you don't, you're not forgiven. So he's telling us here that this is a voluntary choice that we make, and we have to make the decision to forgive. And when we make the choice and determination in ourselves to forgive others, it really makes for a peaceful life. You know, if we choose not to forgive each other, then, you know, we are uptight. We're always, you know, might be filled with anger. We might have a hard time dealing with other people. We might think people are conspiring against us because of this lack of forgiveness from a particular person. So forgiveness allows us to have a peaceful life. And we have to remember, the choice is ours. So when God says, if you forgive, God is as if he's, you know, hitting us the ball and said, the ball's in your court. It's up to you to make this choice or make this decision. So forgiveness is a choice. What is forgiveness not? Or what forgiveness is not? First, forgiveness is not a favor that we offer to other people. So when I forgive somebody, I'm not doing them a favor by forgiving them. Because forgiveness is for us. The person that I might be forgiving could care less or could not even know. So it doesn't change the person at all. But I'm forgiving somebody, the other person, for my own self, for myself, for peace of mind. For, you know, I don't come before God with something on my chest and saying, God, I'm coming here today to unite with you, but I'm not forgiving somebody. So forgiveness is not a favor we do to other people, but it's something that we do to alleviate, you know, ourselves. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiveness takes one person. I choose to forgive you. But reconciliation takes two people. Where we have to talk it out and come to a conclusion and, you know, apologize if I was in the wrong and so forth. So reconciliation takes two people. However, forgiveness is not reconciliation, but forgiveness is necessary for reconciliation. So in order for us to reconcile to one another, if somebody has offended me, I have to be willing to forgive them in order to facilitate the reconciliation process. Also, God's loving forgiveness for us does not remove our accountability for our actions. So just because we come to Abuna and we confess our sins and God forgives us, it doesn't give us the okay not to reconciliate with somebody else. But no, that's why Abuna, you know, you come to Abuna and you confess and say, you know, to him, I stole something from somebody. He'll say, okay. Part of, you know, the absolution is that you return it back to them, the reconciliation part of it. And actually, this is brought to very clear when in the book of Philemon in the New Testament. It's one little chapter. It's a beautiful book. It's kind of like the diamond in the rough in the New Testament. I suggest you guys read it when you go home. But it speaks about Philemon, who was a converted, who was a Jew who became Christian, who had a slave named Onesimus. And this slave ran away and went to Rome, and of course, as we know back in the day, a runaway slave, his penalty is death. But when St. Paul met him, and he converted him to Christianity, he didn't say, that's fine, you can stay with me here in Rome. But he said, no, you must go back to the master, your master, and reconcile with him. But I will send you a letter with you, so when you go there, show it to him when you get there. And in this letter, St. Paul does not justify of him running away from his master. But yet what he does, he tells him, if he owes you anything, put that on my account. So he is forgiven because he became Christian, and he probably partook of the Eucharist with St. Paul and was participating in the life of Christ and the apostles. So he was forgiven by God. But that did not alleviate or remove the burden of having to reconciliate with other people. So just because we confess doesn't mean, it's not the same as reconciliation. We are still required to reconciliate with our brothers and sisters when we have offended them. If you say something bad to them that might be hurting to them, you have to go back and, you know, and apologize. You have to make things better. So forgiveness is not the same or synonymous with reconciliation. Forgiveness is also not just letting somebody off the hook. Forgiveness, as I said, does not remove the burden of accountability, but we are accountable for our actions as well. So it's forgiveness is not reconciliation, and forgiveness is not just simply letting somebody off the hook. It's just like, and I think we should do, you know, the same with our children. Hold people accountable for their actions. Forgive them, but still hold them accountable for their actions. It's just like if you have, you know, my child, we have a set of rules in the house. If you break the rule, you sit in time out. You don't get to play with your PlayStation. You don't get to go play with your friends. And the whole house agrees on these rules. Great. When the rules are broken, okay, I forgive you. I'm okay with you. There's no problem. I forgive you. But still, when you break the rule, there still needs to be the consequence or accountability for your actions. If we don't hold our children accountable for their actions, they will grow up and just be spoiled, and they'll grow up and think that I can do anything in the world, and all I have to do is say, you know, I'm sorry, and that's it. No, but we have to teach them to be accountable for their actions. Forgiveness is one thing, and being accountable for your actions is another thing. Also, forgiveness is not the same as trust. Forgiveness is not the same as trust. Some people think that if I forgive you, khalas, then now the trust is restored. A wife might come and say, you know, and her husband may have, you know, offended her or something and did something very bad, or maybe yelled at her in a certain way, and she was hurt by it. And then she comes, you know, a day later and says, okay, I forgive you. But that doesn't mean that the trust is restored instantly. No, trust is something that might have to take time for us to, you know, reestablish. If something really hurt me really bad, if maybe he hit me or something like that, or, you know, it can work either way. If she, you know, laid a hand on me, or if she did something else to that was very, you know, offensive to me, it might take time. But forgiveness is not the same as trust. And you can see this in the story of David and Saul. You know, David spared Saul's life twice. He was after him and he wanted to kill him. After the first time, you know, after David just cut the part of his garment and told him, you know, hey Saul, I have your garment. I chose not to kill you. So why are you coming up against me? I am your friend, and so forth. Saul then said, oh, you're a better man than I am, and you're good, and this and that, and just, you know, remember my family, and so forth when you become king. And he said, okay. But we don't hear of David going back and going into the house of Saul. If you look at the situation, Saul left his other fights to chase after David. So there's something here, there's a bit of, you know, David lost trust in Saul. He forgave him. But he didn't, his trust wasn't restored into Saul quite yet. That needed a little bit of time. And sure enough, you know, he did the same thing again. And this is very clear in the last verse, in 1 Samuel 24. It says, so David swore to Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. So they didn't go back to the kingdom and back to, you know, as life was in the beginning. This will take time. So forgiveness is not trust. Forgiveness also is not amnesia. It's not forgetting that something ever even happened. We always hear the phrase forgive and forget. But forgetting is maybe something that's involuntary. It's something that I'm going to remember. But I think when we say forgive and forget, the forget part kind of means as if it didn't happen. I don't hold a grudge against somebody. I don't wish them harm. On the contrary, I wish them well-being. I'm willing to reconcile. I have a clear conscience towards that person. This is, I think, what we mean by, you know, forgive and forget, is that there's no more barrier between us. But the actual insult or injury, maybe it's in my mind and I can't help but remember it. So forgiveness is not the same as amnesia. And we should forgive each other. And when we forgive each other, we should have this clear conscience before each other. And that's what the Lord meant in Matthew 18. He says, so my heavenly Father will also do to each of you if each of you from the heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So in this verse, he speaks about forgiving each other from the heart. And this is what it means, forgiving each other from the heart, where I don't have anything against you. We can go and have dinner together, it's fine. We can see each other in church, and I can look in your face and greet you, not look in your face and maybe give you a bad look, or, you know, or not even look at you, can't look you eye to eye. Then there's not forgiveness there in your heart. But forgiveness should be from the heart, but it's not the same as amnesia. And finally, forgiveness is not healing. Forgiveness is not healing. If something is repetitive and it repeatedly hurts me and injures me, and somebody comes and apologizes, yes, I forgive you. But don't expect that the healing would again happen overnight. Just like the trust. Trust and healing take time. So we have to understand that. So when I do something to maybe offend my wife or offend my husband, and it really injures them and hurts them, and they're upset, when I go apologize, we can't, you know, expect that the healing and the trust is going to be restored the next minute. Give it time. And reaffirm that apology by your love, by your care, by your compassion. And that will help build the trust and help the healing process for one another. So that's what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. And just to review really quick, forgiveness is cancellation of debt. Forgiveness is a commandment. Forgiveness is conditional. Forgiveness is necessary for Christian unity. And forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is not a favor we do to others, is not reconciliation, is not letting somebody off the hook, is not the same as trust, is not the same, or is not amnesia where we forget that it ever happened, nor is it synonymous with healing. So how can we practice forgiveness? I pray that this fast, you know, we have a good 55 days, and we're going to be fasting and prayer. Let it be part of your fast and prayer to practice the virtue of forgiveness. How can we do that, Abuna? The first is forget the little things, the petty things. You put the food on the table and you forgot the water. Oh, no, the water or the drink, it's unforgivable. Just go up and get it. It's no big deal. Forget the petty things, the things that, you know, aren't things maybe I can do for myself, things, you know, that are very petty. Let's forget these things, wa'addi, as they say. Also, another good practice to practice forgiveness is put Christ between me and the quote-unquote enemy, or the person who may have offended me. Put Christ in between them. So when I see somebody maybe who offended me, let's put Christ in between. Where now I see that person through the eyes of Christ. So he no longer sees an adulterous woman, but he sees somebody who is repentant. If somebody offended me, I can make excuses for the person. Oh, he must have had a bad day at work. Oh, she must have, you know, been stressed out. Something must be on her mind that's stressing her out. So I have this compassion towards one another. This will help in your forgiveness when you see Christ and put him between yourself and the person maybe who is offending you. Put Christ in between us. Also is to plead for forgiveness. I beg for God for forgiveness. And also seek reconciliation from others, but also to plead with God for forgiveness. And you know, when we come to God and we ask him for forgiveness, you know what he gives us? Not just forgiveness. He gives us salvation. If you remember the thief on the cross, horrible person, lived a horrible life. And all he told God, or the Lord Christ on the cross, was, remember me, what? In your kingdom. He didn't say, yeah, what do you think about having me a seat in your kingdom? No, he just said, remember me. And that was enough. And what did Christ respond? He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So when we beg and plead for forgiveness from God, he doesn't only give us forgiveness, but he gives us salvation. So he gives us above and beyond what we ask of him. And lastly, how can we practice forgiveness? Is looking for the positive in other people. Look for the positive. There's a story about St. Macarius the Great. He and his disciple were walking in the wilderness. His disciple, you know, went one way, and he went another. And his disciple, on his way, he met a pagan priest who was worshiping the idols, you know, and offering incense the whole nine yards. And the priest comes, his disciple comes and says, "What are you doing? You infidel, you're worshiping those idols, and they're nothing, and they're this, and they're that." The priest got angry and beat him. And the next day, St. Macarius takes the same path. And he sees the man waking up early and offering incense and praying. And the guy says, "Oh, it's another one of them, right? I'll show him." And he comes, and St. Macarius, you know, greets him very kindly and says, you know, some kind words to him. So the guy asks, "Why are you dealing with me so kindly? And your disciple, whoever it was, another guy dressed like you, came yesterday, and he was criticizing me and so forth." And St. Macarius told him, because he was looking at the negative things that you're doing, or at the negative, but I'm looking at the positive, how you woke up early to pray to your God. And some of us don't wake up early and pray to our God. So he complimented the positive. He had an eye that was searching for positive. The negatives are everywhere. If you want to look for negatives, you'll find them everywhere and in every person, from the patriarch to down to the little child. But how beautiful it is when we have the eye that is positive, that looks for the positive in people and see what I can learn from somebody else. This is somebody who can easily forgive. If their eye is always on, what is this person doing good? What is this person doing? Oh, this person wakes up early to do this particular service. This person wakes up extra early to get the things ready for their children or whatnot. This particular person, you know, is very diligent at the work. When they work at work, they're working their 8 hours. They don't mess around. They're very honest in what they offer to their work. What am I looking for in other people? We should be looking for something positive, something to learn. If we look at people with this positive eye, this will elevate our status, because we'll see, this person's got something positive that I don't have. Let me try to, you know, imitate that particular act. And that's how actually Christ reveals himself to us, through other people. If we are all the body of Christ, we all have a function, and we all have a particular gift. So let's learn from one another. Let's look at the positive in one another. Let's not look at the negative. The negative does nothing but trouble us and anger us and give bitter envy in us. But let's look at the positive in other people. What do people do well? And let me try to do like them. So how can we practice forgiveness? Don't fret the little things. Forgive the little things. Put Christ between myself and anybody who may have offended me. Plead for forgiveness in our prayers. And look for the positive in others. May God grant us to live this virtue of forgiveness throughout this fast and continue. Many of us, when we start the fast, or by the time we end the fast, we say, "Abuna, I don't feel any different. How I came into the fast was the same as how I left." But let this fast be different. Come into the fast and say, "I'm going to be a more forgiving person." Let that be our, as a church, let that be our discipline for this fast. I'm going to be a more forgiving person. And by the end of the fast, you can look back and say, "Yes, I was a forgiving person." And let that continue through the 50 days and for the rest of your life. To God be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.